I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing out there today? How is everything in podcast land at this moment? How's the weather? Okay, is it treating you all right? It's August here in Paris, where I'm recording this, in my pod room. It's August, and it's beautiful weather. It's absolutely wonderful. Blue sky, a few little fluffy clouds, sunshine, sort of 25 degrees. It is perfect. But I wonder how it is for you wherever you are in podcast land at this time. Welcome to the podcast. In this episode, I'm happy to present to you a conversation with my mum, dad and brother all about old family stories and anecdotes from the past. The episode is called Do You Remember? And that's the title of the activity I chose for this episode. The idea is that we could generate some stories about things that happened in the past, and you can follow along and see if you can pick up some English in the process, or simply enjoy a bit of storytelling on the podcast. So you're going to hear stories of little accidents, moments when James and I got into trouble, learning to drive and failed driving tests, how my parents first met each other, and how my bottom lip was always left trembling at the end of every story. We recorded this in my parents' living room, sitting around after dinner. And if you like, you can imagine that you're there too, listening into the conversation. Not taking part, though. No, for some reason, you're not allowed to speak. You can only just sort of sit there and listen like a weird audience in our living room, just lurking in the background, which would be a bit weird. But anyway, if you like, you can imagine that you're there. If it helps you to tune into the conversation and follow along more easily. I will now leave you to enjoy this relaxed conversation, follow the stories and little jokes, and I will speak to you again at the end of this episode. But now I will let you join the Thompsons. This is that situation where I ask people to give me a sound test and they whisper into the microphone like this. And then during the conversation, they start shouting.
Okay, shall I do this again?
Go on.
Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow.
That's great. Dad?
Mary had a little lamb. The midwife fainted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, I think so. Then again, I don't. I'm not sure I want to think at all. Just go with the flow.
Sometimes it's best not to think, isn't it, really?
That's right. Don't stop thinking.
Don't think too much. It's what people say.
Overthink. Don't overthink.
Just don't think, generally.
So my mind...
Talking of not thinking. James?
1, 2, 1, 2.
Being mean.
Right.
1, 2, 1, 2.
He does think. Glass. He does. Okay, yeah, you're okay, aren't you? Got enough cable...
Wine.
And wine.
I've got enough cable, yes.
But you don't have enough wine.
No, I don't want no wine.
Just had a choc ice.
Just a quick reminder.
Oh, sorry. You have to hold it up here.
Remember, it's close to your mouth. A bit like you're doing a sports report.
Are you recording now?
Maybe.
Oh.
But, Dad.
That's not fair.
You need to bring that microphone nice and not that close. Other people might have to use these.
We don't want to hear your beard.
We don't need to hear the beard to know that it's there.
Can we all agree when this is starting?
Well, I like to keep it vague, you know.
Oh dear.
Just assume it's already started.
Just if it's
like Backlisted, they always start off just by
do
which
they?
Yeah.
That's one, the two,
and then,
one,
and then
two.
Andy says
1, 2, 1, 2.
And then Andy says, "Oh, should we start then?" And And John Mitchinson says, "Welcome to Backlisted," and then does the intro.
Mum's talking about her favourite podcast, which is called Backlisted.
Not this one, then.
This is not her favourite podcast.
No, it's way down the list, isn't it?
Are you a Lepster, Mum?
Probably not, no. Trouble is, you see, I listen to my podcast when I'm in bed and I'm trying to sort of calm myself down and go to sleep. I like to listen to these things. If I listen to you, I get too interested and sort of wide awake. And
Nice. You dug yourself out of that hole, didn't you? I don't listen to your podcast, Luke, because it's too good.
Absolutely.
It's too exciting.
It's too, you know, I'm personally invested in it.
I know. There's no expectation for you to listen to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so shall we start then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Sitting comfortably?
Pretty well.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. How comfortable are you, Dad? Are you comfortable?
I would say 9 out of 10 comfortable.
That's pretty good. Yeah. What would it take to get you to 10?
I think going to sleep.
that'll happen fairly soon, I imagine. Yes,
it may happen very quickly.
Okay, James, how comfortable are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fully comfortable. Thank you.
Comfort has been fully achieved. Okay, this is important because we've got to set the right conditions. So here I am, listeners, sitting with my family. 4 Thompsons on the podcast again. 4 for the price of none.
The Thompson.
I might start with that if I can. Okay, so what we're going to do for this one, the idea is that the concept, a very loose concept which I came up with earlier, is called "Do you remember?" ... Insert the rest of the question here. So I've got lots of "Do you remember?" questions. I'm not sure where to start, really. I could start with... I should say also that I don't need to say this probably, but radio conditions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which basically is a shorthand, my shorthand meaning try not to talk over each other too much. If possible, I'll nominate people to answer the questions. Okay.
But talking over each other is what we do.
You've got to interrupt, haven't you?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's too structured and dull.
No, but interrupting's okay, but there's a difference between interrupting and just talking.
Talking over somebody like this.
Yeah, but that's all right. When you start talking, I stop. That's the point.
Oh.
So we just don't want 2 people talking at the same time, yes. or 3 or 4.
We understand, Luke.
Okay.
God. We're just giving you a hard time.
All right, Luke, just do it. Okay, so do you remember?
No.
Let's see. No, you don't. You don't remember?
I don't remember anything. My memory is terrible.
Is it? Okay,
absolutely.
It's probably quite a good way
to
start.
Who are you, by the way?
I'm your son. I'm Luke from Luke's English Podcast. How is your memory? You always say it's getting worse and worse, Mum.
My memory is, yeah, definitely.
Mm. But you've been saying that for 30 years, as far as I can remember.
I don't remember her saying that.
James, how's your memory? Sorry, what was the question?
It's all right. It's never been great. It's okay. It's actually quite good.
Every Christmas, the tradition is that in this family that we have the Christmas games.
Yes, yes.
And one of those games is that we play, what is it called, Kim's Game? Mm.
Yes.
We don't need to explain why it's called Kim's Game, but it is called Kim's Game, and it involves having to remember a number of items on a tray, and the items are revealed for a minute or two, and then covered
less
up.
Less than that. Yeah.
And then we have to try and write them all down. Who normally wins this game?
James.
Not me.
Well, you did win it a few times, because you
did
had
I?
A technique at one time. Remember you explaining
have
to, it
there
to
is
me.
A technique, but it takes longer than the items are revealed for. Yeah. What you do if you want to remember a long list of things is create a story in your head in which all the items feature in order. So say you've got
a glass of wine, a book,
a table, a cup, and a thing of flowers, a vase of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
What I've forgotten already. You remember a glass of wine... Then you remember it being knocked over by a book. The book then falls onto... I don't know, you have to create a story, basically.
That
triggers all the memories, but because you make it a story, this is the theory, I've never actually made it work, it becomes more memorable than just a list, because we think as humans in terms of stories or something.
Yeah. Anyway, that's just remembering, like, shopping lists and stuff. But anyway, do you remember? So I've got some questions, so we should probably get started. I'll start with James. James, do you remember what you had for breakfast?
Scrambled eggs and tomatoes.
prepared by both
mother
and father, I think.
No, just no, mother.
I wasn't
just
involved this time.
Not you very did. Well, I'm afraid, because I burned the butter.
Oh, dear. Speciality scrambled egg.
You scrambled egg in brown butter.
So it's brown scrambled egg. Very interesting. Very trendy.
We are not dispelling the myths about English food at this moment, I should
okay.
say.
Carry on.
Okay, James has already started yawning. We're back on old territory again here. Long-term listeners will remember the old tropes from the past. I might cut that bit out because the word tropes is difficult, isn't it? Anyway, so I'll start with you, Mum. Mum, do you remember when you met your husband? I hope you remember that moment.
Yes, I do.
All right, good. Next question.
Did you want me to tell you how I met him? You must have heard this story before.
Yeah, just give us the quick story then. What happened? How did you meet him?
Well, I don't know how I actually met him. I remember when I first saw him in the newsroom, I walked in and there was this new person sitting in the corner reading a paper. And I said to the office dragon, I seem to remember saying that phrase before.
Yeah, this,
to you.
One disclaimer. These stories may have appeared on the podcast before. So apologies in advance for any repeated stories. But that's okay. Because, you know.
I said to the person, the woman who's in charge of the office, and I said, who's that in the corner? And she said, that I don't know. He's new. He's only arrived. Nobody's introduced him, so I'm not speaking to him.
Okay.
And I learned later that it was Rick. But I didn't actually speak to him then, nor was I introduced to him. I can't remember when I first actually met him in the proper terms of meeting.
Did you fancy him, though, when you saw him in the corner?
Yes, you did. Fancied me rotten.
Yeah. No. Well, I didn't have any feelings about him when I first saw him in the corner. But as I got to know him, I thought, he's a bit full of himself. So I wasn't terribly impressed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why did you marry him then, for goodness sake?
Well, because once I got to know him, I realised that he was...
he was all right.
He was better than he seemed.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that fantastic endorsement.
Nice TripAdvisor review for Dad there. All right. So, I should probably ask Dad the same question, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember we worked in the BBC newsroom for a while. And, I asked her out and she wasn't interested. I asked her out again and we went to the cinema, went to see a film.
But we went to see...
Paint Your Wagon, which is a musical.
God, you're old.
I know. and the main thing about Paint Your Wagon was it had, what's his name?
Clint Eastwood.
No, yeah, Clint Eastwood.
And Lee Marvin.
And Lee Marvin was really great. And he was the guy who drove the wagon and had this voice like gravel in a tin.
But what about your future wife? Was she great?
She was obviously the person I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. That was the fact. And we got engaged, within a year. We knew we were all right. And she's wonderful. Absolutely fantastic.
One thing I find interesting is you asked Mum out a second time. Because if I was to ask a girl out and she said no, in no uncertain terms, I wouldn't ask her out again.
Yeah.
So it's quite lucky for us that actually happened. Because I personally, I would think, well, bloody hell, I'm not asking her again.
I you didn't mention that before, that you asked her out once and she said no, and then you tried again.
I did.
What made you...
Persistence.
Why did you try again?
I was desperate. I mean... No,
desperately in love.
Yes, that's right. No, I mean, she was obviously very interesting as well as being attractive, and that's the way it turned out.
So basically you sort of said, would you like to go out with me? And Mum said,
no,
thanks. And you said later on, he's like, are you sure you wouldn't like, can I just repeat the question? And then you were like, all right, go on then. And the rest is history.
That is right.
That's kind of the way it happened, yeah.
Such a romantic story, listeners.
Not at all romantic.
James, I move on to... Yes. Yeah, you've got to pick up the microphone.
Oui.
See the fluent French there.
Where? This is an English podcast, not a French one.
James, do you remember when you fell into a pond once as a child? Do you remember this?
No, sorry. I was too young. I think I was about your daughter's age.
About three.
So I don't really remember much from that age, I'm afraid.
3.5 or 4 years old. Okay, well, over to Mum then. Do you remember when he fell into a pond?
Yes, I remember him falling into the pond of, in the front garden of his friend. Well, it was my friend who I had met because my son, James, and her son went to the same play school, I think, or school maybe. Did you go to a play school? Can't remember. Anyway, they were together and we, as mothers, we were waiting for our children to come out, or we were involved in waiting for them to finish play school, and we got together and we became friends, and it was her house that we'd been to and we were leaving, and they had a little ornamental pond in the front garden, nowhere near the path that you had to go down to get to the gate. But somehow or other, I turned around and James was in the pond.
In the pond in what way? Like, his legs were in the pond? He was face down in the pond? How was he in the pond?
I don't remember the detail. I just remember he was in the pond and I just quickly grabbed him out. I mean, he wasn't in any danger of drowning or anything. It's just he'd fallen in the pond and got himself soaking wet.
So the path is over here and then a few metres away there's a pond. Bless you.
Bless you.
Don't worry, listeners, that wasn't an explosion. That was James sneezing.
I can tell you about Luke falling into the water.
I didn't fall into the same pond.
Not the pond.
It wasn't
pond.
Like, oh, anything my brother does, I will do.
This is more serious, actually.
What did I fall into then?
Well, we went fishing in the canal. This was the Grand Union Canal. And there was a kind of period where you were quite small and you quite liked the idea of fishing. Mm-hmm. So we got some very simple sort of fishing rods and got some worms out of the garden, okay? And yeah. I didn't think we'd catch anything. And we went down to the canal and, yeah, we were catching fish, little fish. I think they were perch and they're little stripy things, and put them in a bucket. And we must have caught, I don't know, 6 or 7 of these fish. You were thrilled. You loved it. We kept, you know, throwing the little line in the water with a little wriggly worm on the end, and ping, you'd pull out a fish.
It was great, yeah.
It was great fun. So when we decided we were going to go home, there were, you know, half a dozen, that means 6 or 7 fish in the bucket. And I gave you the bucket, and you went along the edge of the canal to pour the fish back in the canal. And you leaned over and you poured the bucket down and you poured yourself into the canal. You just went straight in head first.
Yeah.
And I saw your little feet disappearing. So I ran along and you were under the water. Yeah. And I grabbed you by the hair and by your coat and fished you out onto the all soaking wet. And with your eyes wide open, you said, "It's all green," like that. "It's all green."
Yeah, I remember.
You were only about 4. You were very small.
Must have been a bit older.
Maybe 5.
I remember it. I remember it happening.
And we had to rush home so that you had to get cleaned up and dried off. But I just remember you leaning over and just going straight in head first.
Because
plop.
As I was, I had this large bucket full of water and fish. And as I was pouring the water in, I was just really captivated by looking at the water and the fish all sliding into the water, that I just somehow lost control of my body motor skills.
Blosh.
And
in he went.
Exactly. Not only did I tip the bucket in, I tipped myself into and splosh. And I went in and my eyes were open because I didn't know what had happened. And I opened my eyes and it was all green. And then suddenly I was out. And it was just, it's all green. You know, I thought I would report back with some insights into what it's like in the canal. Okay, well, there you go. Talking of falling into things, James, you're next. Do you remember when you fell into a massive patch of nettles? And hold on, can I just stop you there? What are nettles? You need to explain that too.
Plants that sting you. Like triffids, but smaller and less dangerous.
Triffids listeners are...
I think nettles are fairly universal, I'm sure. Stinging nettles.
Yeah, but the word?
Stinging nettles.
Yes. They say they're universal, but like in the same way that, like, you know, anything is universal, but the words will be different. That's the problem.
Okay, well, they're those little plants that sting you when you fall in them.
They're plants that grow wild all over the country, and they've got sort of jagged leaves, and they will sting you. And they give pretty nasty stings.
If you get a few, they can be quite bad. Anyway, we were at a friend's house in a sort of a party, I think, of some sort.
Garden party.
And yeah. All the adults were getting drunk, basically, and all the kids were... Maybe slightly harsh, but probably true, let's face it.
What, the adults were getting drunk?
Yeah, and the kids were running around the garden, and I was playing on someone's bike that it turned out didn't have any brakes. But I didn't find that out until I was plummeting towards a patch of nettles, a very large patch of nettles, and I was riding around just in my shorts with no T-shirt on. And I couldn't stop, and I crashed into the nettle patch and covered myself in nettle stings. And I think I was put into the bath with some TCP in it.
You were.
Which probably hurt like hell, even more than...
You were antiseptic.
You were unlucky that happened to you, but you were lucky to the extent that the person who was giving the party was a nurse.
Well, there we go.
And so, she knew exactly what to do.
So I was covered in stings and it hurt like hell. And
it must have been really horrible.
It must have been.
I don't remember it too well, to be honest, but I remember the being put in the bath thing and being in tears, probably, or being upset, but I survived.
Normally, you know, you get stung by one nettle. For example, you're reaching your hand into a bush to get the football that you've just kicked in there or something, and a nettle that you don't see just lightly touches your arm, and ow, and then you end up with like quite a nasty little rash on your arm, which can hurt for quite a while. But if you go into an entire patch without any top on and just a pair of shorts, and you're going to get stung all over.
Yeah, I was pretty covered, I think.
Oh, dear.
Horrible.
Horrible. I was
nasty.
You know, I was really small at the time. I do remember a kerfuffle. That's all I remember, a kerfuffle involving James. And crying and stuff, and I was just like, ah, what's going on? Anyway, memories, precious yes. Memories.
Where would that have been? Somewhere in
it was somewhere in London. Was it? I can't remember exactly where
did they live. Wandsworth?
Was it outside London by that point? I know they used to live in Clapham, not Clapham.
All right, so that part of the world that London. I live in
yes,
now, really,
yes. Yeah, London, suburb.
Wandsworth think, isn't too far away either.
I think they'd moved away by that time into a more suburban area, and they had a large garden.
Yeah,
hence
it doesn't
the
sound
nettles.
That London-y. Yeah. No one in London has a garden that big.
It was a big garden, and they used to every year they used to hold a barbecue party, and that's what it was.
Because he was Australian, and so you had to have a barbecue.
Aussies and
you know?
Barbecues like religion. Yeah.
They were both Australian.
Yeah, they both were.
Are they still Australian?
They're still Australian.
One of them is.
Okay. Mum,
yes.
I think it's your turn. I don't know. I think we're going in vague order here. Mum, do you remember when you... Do you remember, he says, pointing? Sorry, I didn't mean to point so aggressively.
She points like that.
She points like that. Yeah. I felt like I pointed like Jeremy Paxman in your face. I don't know.
Anyway, go on.
I fairly aggressively pointed in your face there. Yeah. I didn't mean to be so aggressive, I'm sorry. Do you remember when you learned to ride a bike? Because you can ride a bike, can't you?
Do I remember when I can ride a bike?
That's the question. I mean, we can send the question to other people afterwards,
okay.
But I'm starting with you.
I don't actually. Don't remember when I learned to ride a bike. What I do remember is teaching James how to ride a bike, which is one of my very strong memories.
Tell us the story.
Thank you. It's when we lived in Ealing and we used to go to North Ealing Park and he went along on his bike and you used to have what they called... What did they call
stabilizers.
Stabilizer wheels.
Describe.
Well, they're a little set of wheels on either side of the main front wheel of a bicycle.
No, back wheel.
Back wheel, sorry.
And that would... If you were wobbling, the little wheels would take up the wobble, so you wouldn't fall over. It was a bit like having four wheels, only it's two big wheels and two little wheels.
Yeah, on your back wheel, attached to it. I mean, everyone, again, James is going to butt in and say, I think it's universal. But yeah, you've got your back wheel, you've got two extra little wheels that are attached to the back and they stop the bike falling over.
Anyway, and he'd got to the point where he wanted to take the stabilisers off, which we did, and he was learning how to ride.
Yeah.
And I used to run along behind, we used to do it, I used to do it on the grass in the park so that if he did fall off, it wouldn't be too dangerous. And I used to run along behind him holding the saddle so that I could keep him stable when he was riding along. And then on one very, very memorable occasion, I was running behind him holding the saddle and I just let it go and he carried on riding.
Into the sunset.
Into the sunset. And I remember it so well. It was such a lovely feeling seeing him riding off all confident.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
How lovely.
Yeah.
You know what? I think, James, that you might have sort of taught me to ride a bike. Really? I don't mean to suggest that mum and dad weren't. That probably, you know, that you didn't do things too. But I remember one particular afternoon, it was probably a Saturday, and we were riding around in the back garden, and basically I was just trying to ride after you.
Would this have been in Ealing?
Yes, this was in Ealing, which is
pretty small garden.
It's sort of in West London, a very small garden, but we were riding around in circles, and I remember distinctly it was the first time I managed to keep riding for any length of time with no stabilizers on.
Mm. And it was because I was showing you, encouraging you.
Yeah, and I was trying to follow you.
Yeah, I think that's probably quite right, because I think James taught you how to do several things, actually. It's
probably a few things that he's taught me how to do, but we shouldn't mention all of them on the podcast. He did actually, this is all right. It's not that bad. It's okay. I think I remember once being given some older brother advice. I was about to go to, I guess it was primary school, that's proper school, not just nursery school, but proper school. And maybe this is too much information, I can cut it. But we were little kids, obviously. I would have been about five, just, you know, probably it was summer holidays, and that September I was going to start, like, you know, proper school. And we were doing wee-wee in the toilet. Okay, you know what kids are like, sometimes they do it together. Anyway, and you said to, and I was weeing with my, at the time I would pee standing up, but I would pull my trousers or shorts down all the way to my
ankle.
Known
as a little boy wee, that
yeah.
is.
Yeah, trousers or shorts were all the way down to my ankles and doing a pee-pee like that. And you said to me, oh, you better not do that at school.
did I?
Yeah. You did, you gave me a tip. You're like, just a little tip from your older brother, who was about six and a half at the time. Just a little tip, you better not do that at school, they'll make fun of you. And then you showed me how to do it without my trousers around my ankles.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, all right, thanks, James.
Yeah, you don't look a complete dweeb.
Yeah, so luckily I escaped being picked on or made fun of.
Funny, I don't remember that at all, but that's quite good. I'm glad I could help.
I was able to pee. Some people now are thinking, I don't know who, girls maybe, might be thinking, but how do men pee? How do they do that? You kind of do it without, I'm not going to go into the full details, but you can sort of do it without pulling all your pants and trousers down.
I think we
know.
I think we've seen enough men doing it.
Yeah, there's a zip on the front of your trousers, you know?
And a hole in your knickers.
Dad, do you remember learning to drive?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell
us? I was very keen to drive as soon as I became of age, which was 17. When you were 17, you were allowed to drive.
Yeah.
And
this is in what?
I was really keen to learn to drive as soon as I was 17.
Did they have cars in the 19th century?
Oh, sorry. Thank you very much. That's not very nice.
No, it's not. This is when?
You were given a whip and you had to talk to the horse before you started.
This was,
I wanted to learn to drive, obviously. Mm-hmm. And
But sorry, when in terms of, like, can I ask what period of time?
Well, talking? The 1950s. 1964. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And let me work that out.
Yeah, it is, of course.
63, probably.
63 going on 64.
No, 64. It was 64.
Okay.
A very good year, by the way. And it was a very good year.
Okay.
And my dad, who was a very nice man, offered to give me some lessons. I really wanted to drive.
Got that.
I wanted to drive. Have I mentioned
that? Did you want to drive?
Yeah. And he had a very flash car, actually. A bit of a surprise. He came on one day with this beautiful Zephyr Zodiac, which was lilac-coloured, and it was like an American car. It had a bench front seat. It had a, you know, white steering wheel with a chromium, you know, middle bit. Really smart car. So he allowed me to start learning to drive on that fabulous car, which was really good. I mean, it was a bit of a surprise.
The question that we all want to know, did you crash it at any time? You described how wonderful this car was.
I didn't. And I thought, well, I can obviously drive all right. And he thought I could drive all right. So we didn't take any professional driving lessons, didn't pay people to teach me at all.
Okay.
And we said, well, I want to take my test. And I took my driving test and I passed.
Wow.
Just like that. I never had a driving lesson.
Passed first time. Well
done. Passed first time. So I've been driving for how long?
Too long.
You know, like about the time it takes for a spaceship can get from here to Uranus.
No spaceship's getting anywhere near my anus. There's another one. Oh, God.
So, yes, I remember learning to drive, and I was very pleased that my dad was very helpful. He was. He was a really good teacher.
Very nice. Very nice. Shall I throw the question over to James? James, do you remember anything about learning to drive, taking tests and things? Do you have a driver's license? We probably should start with that.
No.
Why not?
Can you
tell
us? Not very good.
Tell us about
driving. I failed twice. That's all I remember, really.
Do you remember anything about learning to drive and
being not very good at it? Finding roundabouts were my weak spot.
What is a roundabout?
It's a round thing that you drive around, and it's a junction, form of junction, mm-hmm. where the roads hub off from a central circle.
It's where lots of roads meet, and there's a circular yeah. junction. Yeah, and they're difficult.
Wasn't very good at them. And I tended to accelerate out of them to get away from the other cars. Apparently that's frowned upon. Now, when there's another car alongside you and you're not sure where they're going to go, I used to just speed up and get out.
Just to get away.
I can vouch for that. It was a nightmare.
And kind of get them behind me so I definitely wouldn't crash into them. And I think that's safer than driving slowly.
But the problem is there are more cars in front of you and you're accelerating towards them.
No, they weren't, though. There was an empty road in front of me. I just thought, get rid of these cars around me. Speed up. Much safer. the driving instructor didn't agree.
Got to get out of here. Just, a roundabout. Get out of here.
Just keep speeding up.
There's all these annoying cars around me. Let's just go faster. Leave them behind.
the shorter this journey is, the safer, right?
Yeah, yeah. Statistically, you know, 90% of accidents occur within a mile of the home. So the further you get out of that mile radius...
All right, so but you failed twice and never...
Don't say failed.
Well, I didn't pass twice.
That's right.
Okay, let's finesse the term a bit.
I came short of the full marks twice.
Okay.
And then I don't really want to drive now.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's what I tell myself.
You live in London, you don't need to drive, really.
No, I would like the option, but I don't think I'm going to try again.
Okay. Do you remember my driving tests and stuff? I took three tests.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised. I thought you'd only taken two. But anyway, I know you failed, and I know that...
They didn't reach the required standard.
Yeah. And I remember the occasion when he went off for the test which he passed, which you say was the third test.
Yeah, it was definitely the third.
Anyway, you came back because the driving instructor had driven you, I think you'd driven in our car to the test with the driving instructor. So and he'd left his car at our house.
This is
so,
the first test.
This is the time I passed. Yeah. And I remember you coming into the driveway and me trying to gauge from your expression whether you'd passed or not. And I came out and you were both looking really glum. And I said, didn't you pass again? And you both sort of shook your heads. And, you know, the driving instructor was obviously in on the joke and sort of made to say no. And then said, yes, I passed. Right. So I was...
That old class.
Yeah, exactly, I vaguely remember. Yeah. I don't know who it was who suggested it, but yes, the driving instructor, who was really great. He was a really good instructor.
Yeah, yeah.
Better than the other ones, yeah. Obviously, because it was their fault that I didn't pass. Of course, yeah. He says, ironically, I don't mean that. Sarcasm. Funny. One of us had said, here's what we should do. Yeah.
Let's pretend to your mum that you failed.
That'll be funny. It's definitely three tests, and I obviously passed the third one. The first one was a total disaster because I remember I had to do the reversing round the corner, which is difficult. It's very specific. You've got to stay a certain distance from the curb. Mm. You've got to constantly be showing the instructor that you're looking all around you and checking your mirrors and, you know, all that stuff. And I screwed it up so much that I turned too much to the point where the wheel of the car was jammed against the curb. So yeah. I'd kind of gone all the way around through 90 degrees into something like 120 degrees, and I was diagonally jamming up against the curb. And then I had to kind of go forwards, backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards, backwards in order to get the car lined up properly. And by this point, I think I may have even glanced over at the instructor, and he sort of gave me a look of like, you might as well just
give up.
It doesn't matter what you do next because you've – I'm an English teacher. I think I drove. Pretty well for the rest of the test. Comfortably, calmly, like a chauffeur. But that one mistake that I made at the beginning cost me the whole test. The second one, I'm sure the guy had something against me because I don't think I did anything wrong. Everything was fine. And he just gave me lots of little minor criticism. If you get a number of minor points... enough minor points, then you fail. You don't even need to do anything major wrong. It was just like, no, you sort of, I don't like your haircut, so.
Didn't like the way you knocked into that woman with a pram on the crossing.
They say they have a quota. Yeah. I'll just say that much.
What's that mean?
People they're supposed to pass in a week or a month.
Oh, really?
They're not supposed to exceed their quota of pass. You know, you're not supposed to. It could be rubbish, actually, but just tell yourself that. It might make you feel better.
Okay. All right. Interesting stories. Don't you agree, listeners?
Fascinating.
Fascinating stuff. Should we tell some stories about times when James and I got into trouble as children?
How long have you got?
Dad, did we get into trouble very much? Do you remember occasions?
Well, not really. I'm sure that there must be some kind of statistics, a survey about teenagers getting into trouble, and if there is, I don't think you would be top of the list by a long chalk.
We didn't know half the things.
We didn't know what you were doing, but these are the days where there are no mobile phones. You would disappear and you'd just wait for you to return. We didn't know what you were doing. You were reasonably good lads. Every now and then you would get to a bit of a scrape.
Is there anything that springs to mind?
Jill, what was their biggest scrape?
I remember the police getting
in trouble in Birmingham skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were skateboarding in a sort of main square in the big city of Birmingham.
James. It wasn't really a main square. It was a small side mall.
Anyway, some horrible policemen came along and gave them a hard time, harassed them, and upset them a lot, and manhandled them. That means pushed them around and grabbed them by their arms and one thing or another.
And swore
at them.
I mean, that's okay when you're dealing with teenagers.
That's not what policemen should be doing.
Luke was about 11.
You're doing it.
especially when we're talking about quite young boys. And we were very upset that all they'd been doing had been skateboarding, and the police treated them like some kind of drug dealers, and so we complained about that. And you might say, well, they shouldn't have been skateboarding there, but why not? I mean, the skateboarders were regarded as being some kind of low life which had to be expelled from the city.
Can I just clear a few things up?
Go on.
They didn't exactly complain, or Mum and Dad didn't complain. We were asked to give our names and addresses and phone numbers by the police that were telling us off.
Yeah.
Which is probably fair enough. I don't mind being bollocked, or even if it's, you know, a serious problem, having your name taken down. That's not really... But it's the way that which they did it was very aggressive, physical and sweary. Which I thought was a bit out of order. But anyway, that, especially since you were about 11 or 12 and you were a tiny little kid with little toy skateboard, basically. You weren't exactly... I mean, I didn't really care, but it seemed a bit mean on you. You were a bit upset by the whole experience.
I can give my quick version of the story if you like. So we went skateboarding in Birmingham. James said, hey, why don't you come with us? I was a little kid, pretty much. You were sort of 14, 15 years old. I say little kid, I must have been about 12. Yeah. I felt like a little kid anyway. So we went to this place where everyone's skating. You know, I was with all the older kids. And then suddenly, bam, the police pulled up in a riot van. These are those vans full of police officers. And it pulled up and all these police came out the back. And everyone scattered. Everyone ran away, and everyone ran away so quickly, and I was left there going, but, with my bottom lip trembling. And then I just sort of like, oh God, okay, I've got to run away then. So I turned round and picked up my skateboard and sort of made a pathetic attempt to run to the stairs. And then thonk, a hand landed on my shoulder. You know, where do you think you're going, Sonny? You know, that sort of thing. And he turned me round, and from his point of view, he must have seen just like this crying child with tears running down his face and his bottom lip trembling, you know. And he instantly took pity on me, and he said, oh, you're all right, you can go. He let me go. And then I was just on my own in the middle of Birmingham. And I was lost, and I don't know where I am. I don't know what to do. Oh. So I searched for everyone, all the others.
Well, I got away. So I'd run away, and then I realised you hadn't. So I had to go back and join the ones that had been collared, and sort of, you know, join the collared group and wait for you. Basically,
hold on a second.
That's what happened.
Wait a minute, though. We both got away.
We went in different directions. Yeah.
We both got away and we both turned ourselves in some respect. That's how good we are morally, okay? So if anyone is shocked that we got sort of stopped by the police, let me just tell you that we're both so morally good that we went back to the police.
I went back because I couldn't find you and I couldn't really go home without you. I might get in a bit more trouble then.
Same thing. I only went back because I couldn't find you. So anyway, and when I went back, I kind of climbed up, you know, went round a corner, and then there I saw everyone. And the cops had got all these teenagers lined up against the wall, and there was one cop shouting at them and giving everyone a very, very hard telling off and swearing.
One thing I do remember that was quite funny is all the skaters' names happened to be things like Tony Hawk, Jason Lee... And they all lived at 10 King Road, Birmingham. You know, they all made up their names and address. They were all giving out names of the Bones Brigade.
They were giving out names of famous professional skateboarders.
Yeah, like, what's your name? Mountain. First name, Lance. Lance Mountain. That sounds a very English name. Yeah, sure. Okay, we'll write that down.
Okay. Yeah, they're all making up their own names and stuff. Yeah. We gave our genuine names.
Stupid, idiot children we were. We gave our correct names and address. We should have just said, yeah, my name's Mike McGill. Yes.
Yeah, my name, yeah, Tony Hawk from Tony Hawk's Skateboarding on the PlayStation.
Which hadn't been.
I'm just saying that in order to just say, hey, everyone, Tony Hawk is a skateboarder, the famous skateboarder that you might know. Yeah, so then we kind of went home, and sure enough, we got in and we had to say, oh, you know, we got into trouble with the police. We had to tell the truth, and the police did call, and you said that you'd complained. I think you had some words with the...
You didn't actually phone up and complain. When they phoned up, you basically had to go back at them and said you didn't like the way they acted or something.
I seem to remember having this conversation with this guy who was rather surprised that I should give him a hard time about how they manhandled you and frightened you and sworn at you. For what reason?
I feel pretty proud that, James, I feel pretty proud that Dad stood up for us, don't you think?
Why should they do that?
We're pretty lucky. We could have been...
Beaten
and sent to bed with no dinner or something. But instead, Dad was like, I think that the way that you treated these young people was unacceptable. I don't know what the words were.
Too harsh.
It was too harsh. And I think it was typically the West Midlands police who have a bad reputation.
Okay. Any other occasions when we got into trouble? James, you said earlier that there was an occasion when we were children, we must have been about 7, 8, or 9 years old or something, and we got into trouble with a neighbour that we didn't really know because we were throwing berries at his garage door.
Yeah, we were out playing in the streets of London, of Ealing.
The suburban
West Ealing. So we were out playing, and we used to do that, ride around on our bikes and our skateboards and stuff. And it was obviously late summer, and there were berries in this certain tree that would make these very small, very purple berries that would fall to the floor, and they were overripe, so they were very squashy, and they left a really sort of staining kind of purple ink almost.
Yeah.
And we found out if you threw them against a white garage door, they made a really good splat. And so we did that for about half an hour until the guy came home, whose garage it was, and shouted at us for throwing berries all over his garage door.
What did the garage door look like?
Well, it looked like white garage door covered in purple splatters.
It was art. Urban.
And we just stared at him. You know the way kids do that when they're too young to really understand and they don't really respond, they just stare at you blankly while they're being shouted at. And we just did that until he got tired and then we walked home.
I remember this happening, but I also remember
feeling a bit, oh God, I didn't realise like someone owned this thing. You know, it's just thought it was just there. Yes. You know, it's just like this is just all this stuff's just everywhere. I didn't know someone cared about it or owned it or anything.
Yeah, I remember the satisfying way that these berries went splat when they hit the white garage door, and we were like, this is great. We were trying to get the perfect splat and throwing all the berries again and again. And the guy was so annoyed, understandably. I mean, I'd be really annoyed. But it didn't really compute in my brain that we'd done anything wrong. Just like, felt bad. Definitely felt bad.
I can't visualise where this would have been.
If you came after the house and took a right up to the top of the road and then took a left about 50 yards down from there over the road.
Yeah.
There was a section, almost like a little driveway with some garages. And we used to play football there. We used to kind of kick around there,
I
basically.
I vaguely remember.
These garage doors were there, and there must have been a tree nearby, and we were just like splat, splat,
so
splat.
So they weren't garages attached to a house. They were
one of those separate.
Yeah, I know.
A separate set of garages that
you get made of that kind of lovely 60s concrete stuff, you know.
Okay, well... I remember also once we were playing in the snow. It had snowed, and we were outside in the street in front of our house playing around in the snow, throwing snowballs, and a car drove past slowly, and I impulsively threw a snowball at the car. I don't know why I did it, but I chucked a snowball at this car as it was passing, and it went thonk on the side of the door, and the woman stopped and rolled down the window and said something nasty to me. And I was a little bit upset.
So he threw a snowball in her face. Ha ha ha.
I didn't actually. I just kind of, the bottom lip probably trembled a little bit again.
Oh, God.
Well, I was, you know, I was younger.
It was trembling, wasn't it, that lip?
In those two scenarios, yeah. It wasn't constantly trembling. It wasn't just like, you know, I can't think of things. Okay. Mum, do you remember when I was about 4 years old? And again, I'm giving the impression that we were bad kids, but we totally weren't in general. But when I smashed up a fence when I was about 4 years old.
Oh, this is vandalism.
Well, you see, I don't really remember that. I mean, I know you say that it was with
Robert,
and I can imagine it happening, but I don't remember it being reported to me and the fact that you'd got into trouble.
I'm sure that I'm sure I've told this story before.
Yeah,
probably,
you have.
Probably with you.
Yeah, because you've said it when I've been talking to you and told me about it.
Mm.
But I don't really remember it at the time.
Here's what I remember. And I've got a surprisingly clear memory of some of these things. Mm. I know. Is that I was with Robert, and Robert kind of, you know, this is like, yeah, we were 4 years old, and Robert said to me, oh, come round here. Look at this. This is really cool. And he'd noticed that the wooden fence around the back of his house was quite flimsy.
Mm.
And that if you kind of kicked it and poked it, it would fall to pieces in quite a satisfying way.
Yeah.
So we spent maybe 10, 15 minutes kicking this fence and enjoying the way that the wood kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
And we kicked a big hole in the fence. And then I don't know who got wind of it. I don't know who found out. I think maybe Robert's mum came round to see what we were doing and was shocked to discover that we'd damaged her neighbour's fence.
Mm.
And I think when you came to pick me up, I think the four of us went outside, that Robert's mum sort of took Robert and me and you out and said, look what they did. And then and it was probably a case of, look, what have you done?
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh! And the bottom lip probably started trembling again.
Yeah. I know you and Robert often used to get up to mischief. I mean, I can remember you emptying all the compost out of a flower container that we had in the garden.
Yes.
And me being, was it, I can't remember if it was my flower pot that you emptied, or whether it was Robert's mother's flower pot that you emptied. I can't remember, but I know you were in trouble either from her or from me for doing it. I think it was mine, actually. And you just said, but we were the mud men.
And you're like, oh, well, in that case, it's
fine.
Oh, the mud men. Oh, that's fine. Carry on, kids. No
problem.
So
it just shows, you know, how kids have this sort of logic to what they do. You know, we're the mud men, so we just take all this mud out of this pot.
Again,
what's
it's
wrong
like,
with that?
It's like what James said, that we just didn't really know that anyone owned it. It's just when you're a kid, there's just stuff around and you don't get the sense that people own it, or that people will be upset if you do things with it. It's just the stuff that's around you.
Because you just get caught up in playing your own games and in your own little world, and you just, oh, we're the mud men, so we'll play with this mud.
I blame Robert. I mean, I'm just willing to relinquish all responsibility and just say it's entirely his fault. But I do remember that I would pretty much follow him around and just kind of get him. He was the leader.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that to diminish my responsibility, honestly, but I think that was kind of the way it went.
Yes.
But I also remember once with Robert, we were in the back garden and we found trowels.
Yeah.
Trowels, listeners, are like little things that you would use to dig in the garden. You hold them in you can hold it in one hand. Mm. It's very small. It's kind of like a large, very large spoon/knife, and you can use it to dig in the ground. So we found these trowels, and we worked out that you could kind of like swing them in the air, and you could chop the heads off flowers quite satisfyingly, like swipe, and pa-ching, you'd chop the head off the flower. And so we chopped off the head off, chopped the heads off of some flowers in the garden. And then you came out and you said, "What have you done to all my flowers?"
Oh, dear.
And then we were in trouble, and probably the bottom lip started trembling again.
Yeah, you and Robert did get into a few scrapes.
Sorry. Can I just say I'm really sorry about that? I don't know if it's necessary to apologise now.
No.
I've got a suggestion. How about the time where Mum was nearly thrown off a horse while on holiday in France?
Do you remember that? Do you remember when
I do remember it, yes. It's when we were in the south of France and we went to a little village where they had pony rides, or sort of horse rides around the old town. And I decided I wanted to have a ride on one of these horses, which seems a strange thing to do, really, but I always liked horses, and I suppose that's why. Anyway, got on this horse, and everything was fine, riding down all these little lanes and everything, and I was wearing a big sun hat, and...
It was red, I think.
It was red, and it had a big brim. And for some reason, I think it must have been itching my head or something, I decided I wanted to take it off. So I lifted my hand up to take this hat off. And obviously, whatever the action was that I did with this hat, it must have frightened the horse. The horse must have glimpsed it out of the corner of its eye. And it's really, you know, because horses are strange, they get spooked by all sorts of weird things. Anyway, it obviously spooked it, and it just started to rear and buck and try and get rid of me. And I just remember trying to cling on as much as possible and just sort of sliding off the back of the horse as it reared. That's my memory of it.
I was watching this, and this horse reared up like in those cowboy films where the hero... You know, it's on a horse that rears up. That means rearing up means standing on its back legs and waving its front legs. And he's holding his hat in one hand. Well, it was just like that. It was just like some kind of cowboy hero going, you know, like the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger. Unfortunately, she rolled right off the back of the horse and went bang onto the ground.
Oh.
Mm.
Were you okay?
Yeah.
No, she didn't survive.
No, I was fine. I didn't have any injuries as far as I can remember.
No, you didn't.
Because I think I did actually hang on as long as I could so that I could actually sort of slide off the back rather than being thrown.
So you sort of like eased yourself off the back of
well,
it.
Well, sort of.
I don't remember that. I remember her hitting the dust. Bang.
Well, yes, of course I hit the dust, but I think it was a controlled fall as opposed to being thrown off.
Okay,
but it was rather horrible.
Yeah, and it must have been pretty scary to find yourself suddenly on the ground behind a horse.
Yes, well, the whole thing was scary, and I remember you particularly. I think maybe your bottom lip was trembling.
Oh my God! Everyone's going
to
think.
What happened to Mummy?
Everyone's
when you were a very little boy.
Everyone's going to think I was such a pathetic child.
Well, but you were
shut up! Don't even.
But you were particularly shocked by it, and I can imagine why. It must have been a shocking thing to see.
Come on, listeners, you would have been shocked too if you'd seen my mum get knocked off a horse.
I seem to remember turning around and seeing Mum in that pose, like Dad says, with the three amigos, with one hand on the horse's harness or whatever it's called.
Reins,
and the other hand on her hat.
Yeah.
Like the way, you know, in the three amigos pose, they've got one hand on their hat, like the rodeo riders.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was that kind of pose.
Mm.
So in your mind, it's kind of an impressive moment, yeah, of like a glamorous moment of when Mum became a...
I remember thinking, God, why is she doing that?
That's cool. Mum, can you do that again?
God, what the hell's going on? What's she doing?
When did my mum become cool? My mum became cool she became a cool cowgirl kind of person for a second. And then, yeah, it was an exciting moment.
Oh,
apparently.
Dear.
But it's one of those things that's gone down in legend, in family legend, the time that Mum fell off a horse. Mm. Right, we're going to do one more. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to paint a picture now. Imagine a family holiday with the four of us in a very remote part of northwest Scotland.
Oh, yes.
Mum, you always would plan family holidays in the most remote places possible. So let's go on holiday from the human race. let's just, where are there no people? We're going there. And it was the northwest coast of Scotland. Absolutely beautiful place. An amazing choice. Mm. You found this incredible place, this kind of wooden, what? Chalet
kind of
wooden
thing.
Wooden house right on the edge of a lock. Actually a fjord, really. Mm. It was just sort of connected to the Atlantic Ocean. And there were rocks and then water and big windows on the front of this house. I remember us seeing all sorts of amazing bits of nature out there. It was really remote and wild and just incredible. But so the question is, do you remember when we went swimming in the water? And listeners, this is the North Atlantic Ocean, basically, off the northwest coast of Scotland. This is cold. Now, bear in mind that I live in France, okay? So just for some context, in France, the idea of swimming in off the north coast of France for many French people is like, haha, yeah, sure. You know, that's kind of a bit bit cold for them. That the weather up there is really cold and people don't swim that much. But that's nothing compared to swimming off the northwest coast of Scotland.
Absolutely icy cold.
But do you remember when we swam in the water on that holiday?
I do.
Can I just say, listeners, I wonder if this story is going to end with my bottom lip trembling.
Definitely not. No.
No?
No.
The lip may have been trembling at some point in the story.
I think
you were both very brave.
You were, yeah. I think your whole body may have been trembling by the end of it from cold.
Yeah.
But no, you were very brave. You had jumped. Well, James, actually, I have to say, was braver than you because he jumped in off the rocks quite
readily.
Readily,
stupidly.
Yeah, without thinking about it too much. You just did it. And you said, right, I'm going to do it now. And you sort of took a run at it. And then when you got to the edge, you just sort of teetered and said, no, and stopped.
It's like, right, I'm going to do it. No.
So you tried.
It went on like that for quite some time.
Yeah, until eventually you did it.
You did. You finally plunged in.
Sailed through the air and into the sea.
And it was very cold. And you're right, we came out. Our entire bodies were trembling, including the bottom lip.
Yes.
Everything was trembling.
Mm. But can I just add an extra bit onto that just to you know, show the world how brave I am.
Yeah.
And that is that that's not the coldest water I've swum in. That when I was on holiday in New Zealand in 2015, I jumped into a glacial pool in just outside Queenstown. In
ice melt.
Yes, this is water that had flown directly off a glacier.
Yeah.
But the thing is that we'd been canoeing pretty much all day and had got quite hot in the sun. Amazing place, but canoeing around in the water, and you know, we took a break on the grass, and there was this beautiful sort of emerald coloured pool, and the water was so pure and so clear that it was so inviting. The guide was like, you know, we said, will I die if I jump in there? And he was like, you won't die, but it'll be really, really cold. People do it, he said. So, you know, you can do it if you want, people do. And so it was kind of like, okay, who's brave enough to jump in the glacial pool? And a few of us kind of plucked up the courage to do it. And it was one of those sort of like, well, you're only young once, you know, type moments. And I leapt in. And yeah, it was so cold I could, you know, when you go into really cold water, you can't breathe.
Mm.
It was like, swim to the edge quick. But I felt good once I'd warmed up. Felt amazing, but at the time it was like,
it is,
oh my
quite
God,
dangerous,
oh my
actually.
God. I know, it's very dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me uncomfortable to think about
it
now.
Yeah, but it makes me uncomfortable to think of you doing it.
I wouldn't do it now.
No.
Folks, I don't recommend it.
No.
Although, as I said, I felt incredible afterwards. Mm. But yeah, that was pretty risky. But
this holiday in northwest Scotland was really great. And one of the things that I remember about it is that we said, ooh, there are otters up there in that area.
Otters.
Otters. Oh, hang on. You had to build up.
Otters are animals. Yeah. Otters are animals.
Yeah, marine, you know, yeah.
Marine mammals.
The otter. Water mammal.
It's a cute thing that beautiful swims around. Thing. It's got fur and whiskers, and they eat squid and stuff like that.
Fish.
Yeah.
And so they're very elusive. You don't see them. And this is one area where you might see otters. I hadn't seen wild otters. I remember going to the local shop where, you know, there was a woman there who ran the shop for years. I said to her, you know, do you see otters round here at all? And she had this very Scottish accent, you know, say, oh, yes, you'll see the otters, but you don't see them very often. Not very often. You might be lucky, you might see an otter. But they are around, you know, that kind of thing.
Ochaidinu.
Mm-hmm. This is a very bad Scottish accent, okay? So I thought, well, we might see one. So the first morning, I wake up, get up to make the cups of tea, look out the window. And there, in the water in front of this place, is an otter lying on its back eating a starfish. And I said, otter! And got you guys to drag yourselves out of bed in your pajamas, and you're kind of blinking, having been woken from your sleep, and so that you could see an otter. And
a sea otter. It was. Do you want to see a sea otter? Do you want to see
an otter? Anyway, it was a beautiful part of the world, very remote, hardly anybody there, great nature, lovely birds and otters.
Yeah, lovely holiday. Thanks for taking us on that holiday. It was very nice. Okay, well, I think that's pretty much it for this, you know, as usual, rambling episode. But listeners, I hope you've enjoyed hearing these stories of things that happened in the past. Tales of the Thompson family. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, James is distractingly on his phone. History repeats itself. There's an episode in the archive, listeners, where we did kind of the same thing a few years ago. We were sitting around sort of, you know, telling stories and stuff like that. And I remember having a go at you, James, for being on your phone and for eating during the recording and stuff like that. And he's like, I don't care. I want to eat.
As ever it was, as ever so.
Mm. I mean, it will. The way it was in the past is the way it will continue to be in the future.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, God. We're going to have to do a lot of editing in this episode. I can feel it. But anyway, thank you. No, all right. Thank you very much, Mum. Dad, James, it's been a pleasure.
Pleasure, too.
A pleasure.
A rambling you, Thompson's Luke. Episode.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to say bye-bye to everybody.
Laters.
Bye-bye.
So that was my family recorded in the living room recently while I was on holiday in England. I hope you enjoyed that. Apologies if we repeated any stories that you had heard before. And I'm thinking, is that all of them? Have we said all those stories before? I don't remember. But then again, it can be really helpful to hear the same stories over and over again when learning English. You could even try to tell the stories yourself and then compare your story to the recorded version. That could be a way that you could sort of practice your English with this. Listen to the stories, try and repeat them, you know, listen and understand them, and then try and tell the story yourself, maybe record yourself, and compare your version to the version on the original recording of the podcast. That could be a little trick that you can do to sort of develop your storytelling. And if you want other similar episodes from the archive, then check out these ones. So there's episode number 79, which was called Family Arguments and Debates. And that involves all four of us sitting around debating things like language and politics. So that's episode 79. Then also episode number 322 is called With the Thompsons. And in that one, we just sat around answering random conversation questions, some of them stupid, some of them quite serious. That's episode 322. Then episode number 372 is called The Importance of Anecdotes in English, Telling Four Family Anecdotes. So yes, in that one, first of all, there's a bit of teaching about sort of using anecdotes and how we use tenses to construct our stories. And then four stories from each member of my family. And that's episode 372. Then there's loads of them, right? There's tons of stuff in the archive, but I'm going to keep going. I've got a few more recommendations for episodes. Episode number 413 is called With the Family One, and that was recorded at Christmas, and we were talking about cooking Christmas dinner and how my mum and how my uncle cook their Christmas dinners. The episode 414 is With the Family Two, and that is when my uncle Nick tells stories of meeting famous musicians, including Paul McCartney, Pink Floyd, and The Who, and other people. So he tells all those stories in that episode. Episode 415 is With the Family 3, and that is when the rest of us sit around and tell stories of meeting famous people and what happened. Episode number 542 is called Talking Rubbish and Having Fun with the Thompsons. That was recorded on holiday in the south of France, and there are more random topics and just general fun. Episode number 554 is called Odd News Stories with Mum and Dad, and that one involved speculating about and discussing some weird news stories with my parents. Episode 605 is called Unexpected Road Trip, and that's the story of a road trip that went horribly wrong with James as my co-pilot, and we recorded the whole thing on the road, documenting the various things that were going wrong, and we spent the whole day basically travelling in various ways around sort of the southwest of England. So that's episode 605. So there you go, loads of other episodes to listen to if you liked this one. And most of those, I think, are not on YouTube. So if you're watching this, you know, if you're listening to this on YouTube, most of those episodes are probably not there. So you'd need to go to my website and then check the episode archive. So that's teacherluke.co.uk, and then check episodes in the menu and you get the whole archive. Or if you get the Luke's English Podcast app as well, every single episode is in there too. You can just search by the number, in fact, and you can it'll take you straight to it. Okay, so there you go. But for now, I will leave you to get back to your life, unless you choose to listen to another episode, which you can find in the archive. Don't forget to check out Luke's English Podcast Premium. Premium listeners, P31 parts 4, 5, and 6 are on their way. And in fact, they may have already been published by the time you listen to this. But in the meantime, be excellent to each other. Have a lovely day, morning, afternoon, evening, or night. And I will chat to you later. But now it's just time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.